What the f***?
No, it's okay. On this show, you can say fuck.
It's another episode of What the Fuck. Jillian is still out. So, I've made the soup kitchen bum joke 3 times in a row. Charlie, what else should I use to introduce you with?
Well, there's more than just soup kitchens, man. You can get under the bridge, the alley, the fairgrounds if it's the summertime.
Well, I got the bum Charlie McMullen to fill in this week.
Hey, everybody.
Did your voice just crack there? Hey, everybody.
I was on a ladder, so I'm coming down now.
Yeah, that's what you're coming down from. All right, let's just get into this right away. This week's...
That's the dumbest thing I've ever heard.
Is not one thing. We got 2 things we just need to talk about. Charlie.
We've got one domestic and one imported.
Charlie, Patrick Henderson was arrested 3 times in the past week for huffing chemicals in public. You'd think even a huffer would learn after the first 2 times, wouldn't you?
Maybe. I mean, it's not like they were just days apart. Oh, wait a minute. Yeah, they were.
Yeah, he was basically arrested every other day in this week. And when you look at his photo, he looks fucking wasted in the photo, in the mugshot, too.
Yeah, it does.
But I guess it just comes down to, really, dude, you need the paint that bad. It's like that one photo that's all over online where it says, son, I am disappointed, and it's got the guy with the gold all around his mouth. The guy that's right. Arrested like 9 times for huffing paint.
Yeah, I don't know. This is such a weird story. I mean, first I'm wounded because there's people that are that stupid still walking around. But then I'm wounded again because there is a Target that sold the same guy computer cleaner several times in a week.
I get carded when I go to buy the computer dust blowout stuff. I get carded for that. How do they not notice you're buying the computer cleaner day after day after day? No one notices, hey, either he's got a really dirty computer or he's getting high.
One look at the guy does not make that a difficult decision to make.
No, it doesn't. It looks like he doesn't have a whole lot of brain cells left to kill.
Yeah. I mean, there's a difference between profiling and just looking at something.
And now our other one is, do you think we have a big exorcism problem in this country?
Well, you know what, Josh? I didn't used to, but after reading this article, I fear for my life every second now.
Basically, now it's not us, but they will take foreigners, which would be us. The Catholic Church in Milan has set up an exorcist hotline. Apparently, they have had so many calls of people that want exorcisms, they actually had to set up a 1-800 number. Charlie, does that not disturb you, both on the level that people think they're possessed, or just the fact that there needs to be an 800 number to call for emergency exorcisms? I didn't think this was the kind of thing you could order out.
Well, it does disturb me. It disturbs me because there are enough people living in the adult world that believe in possession and believe in demons that there needs to be a hotline. But also, on the other hand, I'm kind of torn because, can you say best reality show ever?
I'm thinking this is ripe for pranking, too.
Yeah, like order an exorcism for your neighbor.
Yeah, I mean, you don't have to give him your address.
And his demon is a liar. The first thing he's going to say is that he's not possessed. Don't listen to him.
Oh, no. We can call on behalf of Glenn Beck to exorcise the demon Obama.
So should I just put this on the Beck account then?
I'm going to charge this one, Stacy. That's all.
He definitely gets frequent points.
Neither of those were strong enough for a single dumbest thing, so we had to group them together, but that's this week's dumbest thing. That's just asininely ridiculous.
Yeah, it is.
Now, Charlie, let's talk a little bit about the FCC. Now, have you ever wanted to own your own low-power radio station? Just, you know, you're over in Colorado, maybe a 15-mile radius, just something where you could rant to your friends and about the spider aliens that are controlling Obama's brain secretly, things of that nature, play the music you want to play that you never hear on the radio?
I'd be lying if I said it never crossed my mind.
Well, you might get to. The FCC is going to deregulate low-power FM stations with one very nasty catch. They have to be non-profit.
Dun, dun, dun. Yeah, lots of seemingly non-profit organizations being controlled by a majorly for-profit corporation.
In a way, doesn't this really open up the floodgates let's say for the sake of argument, you just want to, you don't mind not selling advertising or making money. You just want to put out a radio station at your own cost to play some cool ass music. Well, now you can.
And I mean, there's definitely that part of it that I really support and I really believe in, because I think that's awesome. Any sort of deregulation of the media, I'm all for.
The other kind of nonprofit I can actually see picking up a lot of these low power stations, tinfoil hat people. I mean, can you see Alex Jones syndicating his show to all these low power stations to try and get himself a bigger, I don't even know if he cares about market share, but market share?
That would be awesome. I mean, because I spend a lot of time driving around highways. This would be great for me.
Put the radio on Seek and try and find what nut job is currently ranting.
Exactly. It's like an all-you-can-eat buffet.
When my wife and I traveled to Milwaukee, which is about 3 hours away, about halfway there, you start to lose the Green Bay stations. And then you find all the Milwaukee stations, and it's like you stepped into another country.
But, and yet, kind of similar. It's like Shelbyville.
Yeah, it's kind of like Shelbyville. It's similar enough, but it's different enough. And then especially if we were traveling to Michigan, some of the Michigan stations, they got awesome radio I wish I could get normally in Green Bay.
Yeah, I know what you mean. Pueblo, where I live, picks up like a couple of good stations. But when I go to Denver for a comedy gig or whatever, such good radio up there. I get jealous, and it's such a sad thing to get jealous about.
The way I look at it is, though, now, what actually is going to constitute nonprofit? Obviously, selling advertising, you probably aren't going to be able to do. But a lot of these stations, the equipment is not all that cheap. The licensing music, if you're actually going to go the legal route and license music, is right. Not all that cheap. Really, the only people that can afford it are the church or Alex Jones type people that have an agenda to push. So in a way, that's not a good thing.
I agree, and I saw a good example of that in the article that you sent me, because the bill was passed and the legislature was pushed through by two senators, one Democratic and one Republican. Whoever wrote the article interviewed the Republican one that co-authored the bill, and his reasons for wanting this, well, he said for this jazz musician that he knows who never got play on the radio and now can, but mostly he was pushing for a Christian informational kind of station. 100% believe in the freedom of religion. It's a constitutionally protected right. And I would be saying this to a Christian, a Catholic, someone who's like Jewish or Muslim or Mormon, anything. But I'm fine with freedom of religion. It's when you start trying to convert people that I have a problem with it.
Well, and then there's also the issue of conglomeration. Not in the normal sense of conglomeration, but say because these low power stations only have a 15, 20 mile radius, you've got all these stations in one community that are all owned, for lack of a better term, by one single church. There are no dissenting voices. They control all of what you're going to hear, except for the corporate controlled media, which isn't offering a whole lot of difference. There's really not a whole lot of room for someone like you or I to just go, we're going to put on some cool Church of the Subgenius kind of shit, because we can't afford to do that.
Unless we're a nonprofit.
Even if we're a nonprofit, it's still going to be out of our pockets, and I don't know how all that works with taxes, but I would love to have my own radio station. Syndicate this show? Can you imagine all the bleeps I would need to put this show on our low-power radio station?
Fuck yes, I can.
Fucking A, man. But see, I think there is a danger here, because all the articles I've read say this, yeah, this is a great thing, it's a great thing, and I agree. On the surface, it is. But that stipulation of it being non-profit only,
right,
that only leaves a few viable options. And those options are the kind usually will go out of their way to control an area. So to me, this is not all good. What I would love to see, pump up the volume style pirate signals start popping up, though.
That would be cool. It does kind of open the door for that, too.
Yeah, because the deregulating means there's all these new frequencies. The thing about radio frequencies, do you remember the Max Headroom video pirating incident from 1987?
Refresh my memory, Josh.
In Chicago, somebody wearing a Max Headroom mask broke into first the WGN News for about a minute and a half at 9 p.m. And then later that night, about an hour later, broke into the Doctor Who episode on the Chicago PBS station. And they were never caught.
Yes, I do remember that.
Even in a medium that is no stranger to bizarre moments, these were truly bizarre. Starting first on WGN-TV at 9:14 Sunday night during a sportscast.
12 quarters finally did.
Take some pretty sophisticated microwave equipment operating in the broadcast auxiliary frequency bands and a significant amount of power.
About 2 hours later, the video pirate struck again. This time, the target was a science fiction broadcast on PBS affiliate WTTW. And this time, it wasn't 25 seconds long. It ran for almost a minute and a half.
Some dry clothes.
By this time, the pirate had managed to insert audio as well, along with a display of a marital aid and a portion of his or her anatomy. It generated hundreds of calls.
Really kind of expressing sympathy over the fact that our signal would be interfered with this, in this way, and that it would inconvenience so many thousands of our viewers.
The incidents are now under investigation by the FCC and the FBI.
But the odds, I'd say, if a guy continues to involve himself, either sporadically or continuously, is very great that we will determine who it is.
All early evidence points to someone with a broadcasting background.
Someone who really knows the business and microwave in general.
But the person in the Max Headroom disguise may not know how sophisticated officials can be in tracing this sort of thing. It leaves an electronic signature. And while it may have been a stunt, it is not treated as a joke. Chicago's video pirate could face a jail sentence and fines for his freelance exercise in public access.
And all that they did is basically overpower the signal coming from WGN and PBS. Their signal was stronger than PBS's signal.
Right.
So that's all you would have to do to hijack one of these low-power FM stations. And when I say low power, I mean low power. Some of these are only a tenth of a watt to get a couple of mile radius. You can buy transmitters at Radio Shack that are more powerful than that. So it would be pretty easy to hijack some of these signals.
You definitely could do that. You're starting to sound kind of like a terrorist, but yeah, you could do that.
I'm sounding like a terrorist? You're a fucking terrorist.
Fucking terrorist.
I'm talking about hijacking the airwaves, not airliners. There's a difference.
And it's a key difference. I know this. I'm just saying. But no, I agree. And I think that even if a station gets shut down within a couple weeks, it's like an underground band. You can just start another station.
And
I mean, there's an endless number of slots that you could take.
And, like, here's something I often wanted to do. You remember when the analog signal on TV completely stopped and they went all digital?
Yeah.
All those analog signals are still there. Your old TV will still pick up an analog signal. Why have we not seen people buying up all that old analog transmitting equipment and making pirate TV stations? I am totally for this.
Huh.
You never thought of that, did you?
I did not.
Because when they were getting rid of all the analog equipment at the station I used to work at, I really did ask, can I buy some of this stuff? And they're like, why? no reason. I just want to own it. Because that's what I think. Because literally, I mean, yes, a modern TV wouldn't be able to pick it up. You go pick up some TV from Goodwill, and all of a sudden you've got your own pirate TV station with Star Trek episodes and stuff that you're not paying for and porn and shit like that. That'd be awesome, don't you think?
That would be awesome.
And I hope I just put the idea into some enterprising listener's head. Hint, hint.
You can do it, guys.
Come on, do it, do it! We used to have a radio station called Rebel Radio that we got here. I think it was based out of Michigan. And they only were on the air from 1 a.m. until 6 a.m. And at first I'm like, okay, that's kind of weird. My wife and I caught it one night just going to the store. All of a sudden I'm hearing Ministry. And I'm like, you do not hear Ministry on the radio in the 90s. And they're like, no, what the hell is this? So we keep listening. Then they play the Misfits. And I'm like,
nice.
What the fuck is going on? So you got to remember, this is in the days of, you know, pre-internet or early internet. So no streaming or anything. I look them up. Rebel Radio was a pirate radio station with logos and contests and everything. They were actually taking the signal of a Christian radio station when they went off the air at 1 a.m. Rebel Radio turned itself on.
Nice.
And then
that is awesome.
And then they just stayed on until the Christians came back on at 6 a.m.
Wasn't Rebel Radio the name of the station in Airheads?
I don't remember. It's been a long, long time since I've seen Airheads.
If I'm not mistaken, I believe it was.
It might be. But I want to see more shit like that. This is the kind of anarchy stuff I like. Like, I love this kind of anarchy stuff. Like, especially in the States now where pot is legal. I want people to take marijuana seeds and go to the homes of every senator that voted against it and plant them in their yard at 3 a.m. All of a sudden, their wife starts gardening and they've got weed growing in the front lawn.
That would be
people
cool.
Get creative with your pranks. Let's do this kind of thing. And that means taking the airwaves. Because technically, aren't they for us? Why should they be regulated at all?
That's an excellent point. I've never understood that. I mean, there should be an ample amount of advertising or awareness that people listen to the stations that they want. And if they don't want to, if they find some of the other ones offensive, they just didn't listen to them.
Right. And then it comes.
They didn't have to make sure that nobody listened to them.
Well, and then it comes down to really in this day and age with streaming and Netflix and iPods and iTunes and all this, do we really need to still keep playing Mr. Brownstone with Motherfucker bleeped out? Do we really need to keep playing that version? Is there anyone that's going to get offended that's listening to Guns N' Roses anyway and going to go, oh, they said MF. Oh, my God.
Yeah, what? I've never met a Guns N' Roses fan who had a problem with adult language.
So what it comes down to me is stop being babies and start watching in your community for these low power stations. Don't let the religious, I mean, they have a right to do this. So I'm not saying don't let them get in there, but don't let them take over your community. Don't let them take over all the radio in your community. I want our listeners to form their own radio stations. That's what I want. I want to create a huge conglomeration of totally independent radio stations. Or, if we're sticking with the terrorist analogy, cells.
There you go. D cells, C cells, whatever you need.
So, on that note, we'll be back after Heart Attack.
Get out there and be somebody!
Hey, you guys, Hart D. Fisher from Heart Attack here. And normally you'd hear me ranting and raving about some political thing that's got a bug up my ass or another. But today, I want to talk to you guys about the Safe Sig. When I was growing up as a kid, my father smoked 3 packs a day. My mother smoked 2 packs a day. And when we went on a family camping trip, he rolled up the windows for the air conditioner. So we rolled down the highway in a goldfish bowl full of smoke. It was nuts. Well, tell you what, folks. I wish my father had this when I was a kid. Safe Sig is a new technology that offers a real alternative to smoking tobacco cigarettes. That's right, it's an alternative to smoking tobacco cigarettes. No tar, no ash, and has virtually no smell. So go on down to www.thesafesig.com. No secondhand environmental health or fire risk. So if you've got a hubby or a wife who likes to smoke in bed at night while she's reading her favorite James Patterson novel, well, hey, you don't have to worry now if she's smoking the Safe Sig, because it's not on fire. So, folks, I've got a really good deal for you. If you want to try out the Safe Sig, you can. You're going to get 20% off if you use the code HORROR. That's right. Use the code HORROR, and you're going to get 20% off your order of the Safe Sig. And that's thesafecig.com. So go ahead and check it out today. Get your 20% off. Don't forget to use your code HORROR.
Hey, guys. Welcome back to another Heart Attack. I'm here with my co-host, Josh Hadley. Josh, how you been?
I've had a pretty good, damn good day, actually, surprisingly.
That's pretty cool. I wanted to share some good news to the listeners here. I wanted to thank every single person who helped with Christine Crawley McDonough's Save My House Fund, because I've got good news, guys. We saved her house. Not necessarily us, but all of us, and mostly Christine. You know, Christine, if you're listening to this broadcast, you kicked ass, honey. You fucking kicked ass. I'm really proud of Christine. She dug deep. She dug hard, and she fucking pulled this one out of her ass, literally, and really nailed the tax man. She handled it. She got to keep her fucking house. Fuck yeah!
Good. I say good, and I know some of our listeners helped out with that.
Some of our listeners did contribute. They did help out. They did share. So I want to thank you guys very, very much. And I also wanted to announce here for you guys to know that I'm doing a contest for Christmas. We're going to be doing live drawings. Well, not live, but we're going to be doing drawings on American Horrors. We're doing some limited edition T-shirts. and we're going to be giving them away. So what we want you to do is we want you to take our American Horrors Facebook banners, which we have posted on the American Horrors Facebook page, and we'd like to see our fans start sharing this stuff. We want to see American Horrors banners on your page. I know, Josh, you've got a banner on top of yours, but then, dude, you got a big, giant Christmas gift coming from me anyway.
I'm not going to bitch about that.
Dude, I got a metric. I got a box of stuff that's coming your way. You're going to be one happy camper, and you'll get the biggest, blackest, nastiest Christmas gift you've ever got. Exactly, right? And I got some feedback too, guys. I want to let you all know that that blind douchebag who tried to sell my film behind my back for the third fucking time, well, we settled his fucking hash, guys. The company dropped him. That's right. That company dropped his fucking ass. They got my legal notices, and they dumped the whole thing. So, awesome.
Do you think he'll have the balls to try and go resell it elsewhere? Or do you think he's finally done?
When you get rid of... I don't know how many people listening to this have ever had a rat infestation in their home, but, you know, you seal up one hole and the rat tries to get in another way. This dude's a rat. You know, he's a nasty little rat, and he's got an issue with me. He's got problems with me. He still, if anybody goes and reads his blog or anything, he writes about me like I'm his ex-fucking girlfriend. Me, I don't think about this guy. I'm busy winning. Everything is going really good at American Horrors. I am so thankful. Part of what I did over the last three or four episodes was I really needed to clear my jets. I really needed to get some shit off my chest. There's a lot of stuff that I've been silent about for a long time. And now I'm coming out the gate. You know, things are going really well. Waka's health is pretty good, and we're moving right along. I feel really good, guys. I've got some new sponsors for American Horrors. We got some new sponsors coming to Jackalope Radio that I've set up. Good products, nothing porn. No Adam and Eve bullshit. This is real products from real fucking companies.
Hey, Adam and Eve has been good
to
me.
Help you guys.
Hey, Adam and Eve has been quite good to me, Hart. So.
Oh no, I know, but you know how it is in this world. Porn is easy and cheap and sleazy, but it says something better when you can get a product that'll actually like help somebody's life. And that's what I'm lining up for Jackalope Radio and for American Horrors. We've got new sponsors. Everybody knows about the SafeSig thing, which is going pretty good. A lot of you guys have been buying. I really appreciate that. You know, if you use the code horror at safesig.com, you'll get 20% off your order. Currently, American Horrors is free. If you go to www.filmon.com, you can watch American Horrors for free through the holidays. We've got a lot of new programming that we're bringing in. We premiered Chris J. Miller's two films, Iron Horse and Carrion, which are really cool, fucked up horror films we play on Mondays for Mondo Vision Monday. We've got new stuff coming. One of our listeners out there, Johnny Dickey, we're bringing Johnny Dickey Slaughter Tales to American Horrors. That's right. Just because you're 15 years old doesn't mean you can't make a kick-ass movie. And one of the things I liked about Johnny Dickey's movie is, Johnny, if you're listening, a lot of your editing put professional editors to shame. Your editing was pretty fucking good. And that really cracked me up. So Slaughter Tales is coming to American
Horror. That was my only complaint. That was my only complaint about the movie. It was too well edited to be a shot on shittio film.
Totally, dude. That's the same way I felt. I'm like, he's trying to make a bad film, and it's awesome and hilarious and all the right ways a bad film should be. But in his editing's fucking perfect. There's no editing continuity errors anywhere. Yeah, and you know what? We got some fan mail from a guy out there, another listener who is in high school, and his stomping grounds are Alsip, Illinois. Dude, not only am I from the South Side, but one of my best friends grew up in Alsip, Illinois. I spent a lot of time running around Alsip with my buddy Mr. Genge. And John went to Shepherd, and I went to a special school called Pi. And they took their kids from Eisenhower, Shepherd, and Richards, and they put us into this experimental school project, individual education. So, yeah, I come out of Chicago. I've got a lot of friends back there in the South Side. If you are out there and you're an artist, you guys can do this. There's nothing stopping you now. It's not just, you can do anything now, man. I mean, it's fucking insane. You can distribute your own music online. You can create your films with cameras and regular lights. You know, you used to need certain tungsten lights, certain kinds of lighting, and certain temperatures to shoot film. It was a nightmare. But with digital, you guys can go make your own movies. You can be doing it, and a lot of people are. I really think that we are about to have a major renaissance of filmmaking, because kids are growing up with, you know, how did Spielberg get so good? He's been directing movies since he was a kid. Sam Raimi, since he was a kid. You know, these people, we love what we do. You know, I don't do American Horrors because I got a job at Sony. The people at Fearnet run Fearnet because they need a job. People that run Chiller, they work for Universal. American Horrors is my dream job, man. I love what I do. I love the people that I'm working with, this opportunity that I have to work with a guy like Alki David. You know, I finally got to have some good closed-door meetings with Alki and talk about a TV show for his new Film on Live channel that he's got that's on here in Los Angeles and San Francisco. Man, Alki continued to blow me away. The guy, it's a hell of a thing to know a billionaire, folks. It is one hell of a thing, and it's a real mind-opener. You guys could be in the position I'm in. All it takes is creativity, guts, and endurance. Just keep on going. Keep creating. Keep doing what you're doing. That's how I got to be where I am. That's how Christine paid off her house. That's how I beat this asshole who's tried to sell my film behind my back time and time again. I spent 10 years to keep a killer in jail. 10 years, guys. 3 different murder trials. You can't stop me. I love what I do. I'm an endurance guy. And boy, oh boy, I've just had the best time. You know, I've gotten to bring Danzig up to meet Gene the Bell and Benny the Jet, and I'm back in training. And, you know, here's something scary for you folks at home. I've been laying off the booze. How does that sound to you, Josh?
What you guys at home don't realize is usually right before we start recording, Hart goes and gets a Jack and Coke. He hasn't been doing that lately.
Yeah, in fact, there was a period of time for a while, guys. I was very angry about these people who'd fucked me over. And I really had to be focused on taking care of my wife during her recovery from cancer. And certain scumbags chose that moment to try to steal from me or to fuck with me because they knew my number one job was helping my wife. My number one job was to help her get better. And as she got closer to being better, people pulled more and more disgusting shit. And in order for me to help deal with this and to not go out and kill a motherfucker, I was drinking a lot, man. I was drinking a lot. I would kill a half a bottle of Jack a night, easy. Bottle of wine, 2 bottles of wine a night, no problem. And this is nightly, you know, lots of vodka. And it was starting to affect my getting back in shape. You know, it was affecting my work because I was feeling the hangovers and I wasn't as sharp. I wasn't as focused. And I'm on this new product that is going to be one of the things that we have on the air. It's a really good kind of water. And I've been drinking this new water for a couple months now. And during this time, my wife has quit drinking soda. I've been getting back into the dojo. My energy's back up. I've been getting a lot of shit off my chest, which really helps me feel better, you know, getting the shit off. And I've been doing things behind the scenes, you know, that are advancing our agenda. Things are going really fucking good. I can't even believe my luck. And so now I've laid down the bottle. Does that mean I've gone cold turkey? No, that's for assholes who've got a problem. I don't have a problem. I just felt that I was drinking too much. It's time to chill out. The same way you would if you're drinking too much Mountain Dew every night and you couldn't sleep. It's the same kind of thing. So since I've laid down the booze, I'm seeing things differently. I'm feeling different, way more energy than I know what to deal with. And boy, oh boy, my temper, my anger is a living, being thing that's trying to get out of my head. So I need to get this stuff out. And, you know, that's part of why I do martial arts is my therapy. Martial arts are my therapy. They help me get my head together. Gene LaBelle, if you're hearing this, buddy, boy, Gene, you've really helped me get my head together. Benny the Jet, you have blown my mind with some of the stuff you've told me. Danzig, if you're hearing this, dude, you too have blown my mind this year. There's serious people that are giving me serious wisdom, and it's really making a difference. It's really helping me advance my life and to be a happier person, because that's the real goal here, guys, is I want to be a happy person. I want to be enjoying myself, and fuck yeah, I'm doing it. You guys are out there spreading the word, and I need you guys to spread the word. I really need your help. Because we're not kidding, there is a news blackout at Fangoria. There is a news blackout at Rue Morgue. I have people that work for every magazine, guys. I got moles in every. I got moles that work at MGM. I got moles that work at every single studio you can imagine, and they feed me information because information is power. And there is a real media blackout. So if you can go out there and you could be on the message boards talking about American Horrors, telling people where they could watch us, that they can watch us, that they could see us online at filmon.com. We had an issue where our Filmon free app had been pulled down. We have 7 million mobile users of the Filmon app, guys. 7 million. We are completely and totally comparable with Hulu. The thing is you people at home should know our audience is growing, even though I've been blacklisted, even though Wikipedia will not have an entry on me or American Horrors. We've been having fun trying to get that one up too. Even though there's this blackout, you guys are making a difference. Just your excitement out there, you guys talking about this on your Facebook page. You know, I know that when we start with this contest and people start posting their FB banners and start talking about it, you know, people are going to be excited. I really love what we're doing. We've got really good programming coming up. All new episodes of True Crimes, the American Horrors Intermission Show. New episodes of Fright Asylum are being prepared to premiere. We've got all new episodes of 813, Tracy King's kick-ass zombie series. Dude, we've got so much killer shit, man. And then we've got this interview with Mark Brooks getting ready, who's one of the directors on Metalocalypse. And he has done some Slayer stuff. We've got Slayer coming to American Horrors. Dude, we're killing it. We're fucking killing it. I have my channel on all day long, and sometimes I just find myself watching it, you know? So I'm having a great time, and I want you out there to spread the word. Invite your friends to the party. Let them know. You can be watching American Horrors right now at filmon.com. And even better, there's a new thing called the Omnibox. The Omnibox is a new cable box that will allow you to watch American Horrors on your TV set. That's right. You can get it at Radio Shack, and I have it on good information that it's coming to Walmart, too. That's right, motherfuckers. I'm invading cable. Be afraid.
Slaughter Hotel, the final address for 8 young nurses. Slaughter Hotel. The whole world read the headlines. Now, for those who dare enter the deformed world behind the headlines, a motion picture that freezes at every scream, that hangs on every dying breath. Slaughter Hotel, a reserved deathbed. 8 innocent nurses. They faced death 1,000 times. Now, they were facing a massacre as one by one the life was slashed from under them. Slaughter Hotel, a reserved deathbed. The living will never get used to death, but to die this way. Slaughter Hotel, in color, in violence, in shock.
All right, Charlie. Bob Costas has been coming under a lot of shit really lately over his stance on gun control. Now, I want to first say I really like Bob Costas. I think he's one of those really fair journalists. I've never seen him really take a side over a certain issue. He is always very knowledgeable. And this is whether he's talking about sports, news, that old late night talk show he used to have on NBC. Bob yep. Costas is one of those reporters I've always liked, even if I don't like what he's reporting on. He's coming under fire for the comments he made over the Jovan Belcher murder-suicide and his thoughts on gun control. I'm going to play those comments here in a moment. Before I do that, what are your thoughts on gun control before we get to Bob Costas? And you got to remember, Kansas City Chiefs linebacker Jovan Belcher, he murdered his girlfriend and then committed suicide. So this is kind of a touchy issue right now with people.
I fall more on the liberal side of gun control. I think there should be way less handguns made available. I think you can be into guns all you want, but I don't think they should be owned by anyone except... Actually, I don't think they should be owned by anyone at all. I've been talking to a friend of mine. His name is Robert. He's from England. He had recently gone back. None of the cops carry guns. None of the citizens carry guns. And there are like a fraction of the gun deaths every year that there are in America. I, for one, would like to do away with them.
Well, and then we also can't avoid the whole thing. And I'm sorry if this is putting you in a bad spot. The Aurora, Colorado shooting, you had a friend that got shot in that.
Yeah.
The more gun control, that psycho wouldn't have been able to amass the arsenal that he did with nobody noticing that this was weird.
Yeah, perfect example. Anyone, like, you pick anyone at random, they should not have the ability or be even in the set of circumstances that led to his getting that stockpiling that many weapons. It was insane.
There gets to a certain point where, and now this is going to come weird for me as like a collector of pop culture, even as a collector, don't you have enough? Because I can't kill someone, well, I could if I tried really hard, with a VHS tape. But when you've got 10,000 rounds of ammunition and you go, you know, it's just in case. There's a difference between being a collector and being fucking paranoid.
Yeah, that's when a collection becomes an obsession. So a psychological dependence, even.
Let's hear Bob Costas' thoughts, and then Charlie and I will be back.
In the aftermath of the nearly unfathomable events in Kansas City, that most mindless of sports cliches was heard yet again. Something like this really puts it all in perspective. Well, if so, that sort of perspective has a very short shelf life, since we will inevitably hear about the perspective we have supposedly again regained the next time ugly reality intrudes upon our games. Please, those who need tragedies to continually recalibrate their sense of proportion about sports would seem to have little hope of ever truly achieving perspective. You want some actual perspective on this? Well, a bit of it comes from the Kansas City-based writer Jason Whitlock, with whom I do not always agree, but who today said it so well that we may as well just quote or paraphrase from the end of his article. Our current gun culture, Whitlock wrote, ensures that more and more domestic disputes will end in the ultimate tragedy, and that more convenience store confrontations over loud music coming from a car will leave more teenage boys bloodied and dead. Handguns do not enhance our safety. They exacerbate our flaws, tempt us to escalate arguments, and bait us into embracing confrontation rather than avoiding it. In the coming days, Javon Belcher's actions and their possible connection to football will be analyzed. Who knows? But here, wrote Jason Whitlock, is what I believe. If Javon Belcher didn't possess a gun, he and Cassandra Perkins would both be alive today.
Do you think it's right that he's getting all the shit that he's getting for what he said?
No, I don't. I thought he was like demonstrating responsibility as a member of the media.
I thought he was actually holding back some. He looked like he wanted to say more.
Yeah, there was definitely a whole world of shit bubbling underneath his surface. I mean, when you look at his eyes, he is just about ready to go off for like 5 straight minutes.
And see, here's the thing. People are already asking, because there's this weird divide. Keith Olbermann and Dennis Miller both ran into this when they did Monday Night Football. People say, politics in the real world? I don't want that on my football program. And okay, fair enough. To a degree, you just want to watch the football game. When a football player just uses a gun to go and kill himself and his girlfriend, you can't ignore that. That's part of the football now. Don't you agree that Costas was not out of line? It's not like he randomly brought this up. If it had been a week ago and he'd said this, okay, then it would have been random. But he was saying this for a specific reason. I don't think he was out of line saying this at Sunday night football game.
I don't know. I mean, I think it is definitely – it's football related. It involved a professional player. It's on everybody's mind. The fact that you shouldn't talk about it because it's not civilized is doing a disservice to any thinking person that might have been watching. You just put up with it. It's something that's happening on your planet, in your country. You have to deal with it. You can't just ignore it because you don't want to hear about it. I mean, I run into the same shit every election season. Thank God it's over. You know, commercials have kind of gone back to normal. No, but I don't want to get bombarded with ads from Mitt Romney, ads from Barack Obama all the time. But because it's happening in my world, I put up with it. It's called price of admission. If you want to live in a democratic society, you have to be somewhat informed. You can't just turn a blind eye all the time. That's how people forget about tragedies. They don't gain the perspective that Costas was talking about. And shit keeps happening like this. You know, if Colin Biden hadn't been swept under the rug so soon after it happened, then there might not have been a shooting in Aurora. You know what I mean?
Or Pearl or any of the other shootings that followed Columbine.
Exactly.
But then you've also got the issue that the only way I can put it is they're nuts about their guns. There are people that are calling for NBC and Universal to fire Bob Costas over these comments. I'm saying you don't fucking fire him over this. You give him a goddamn raise for having the balls to say what he was thinking, knowing it was probably going to be an unpopular opinion.
That's what people used to do all the time. I don't know why Bob Costas is the only one left.
Because this really pisses me off. Not what Costas says, people wanting him fired for this.
I know.
Bob Costas is one of those few true professionals out there. You don't fire him because he doesn't like guns.
He didn't slander anybody. He didn't say anything that wasn't true.
And he also, this is something that Michelle Bachmann and Glenn Beck and Bill O'Reilly and all the other right-wing talking heads kept bringing up. Obama wants to take away your guns, despite the fact that Obama is on record having loosened gun control and never once having said he wanted to take people's guns away. But they knew that that would rile up their fan base. That would get them all wound up. Obama gonna take away our guns?
From my cold, dead hands.
This whole thing about gun control. Gun control is not trying to repeal the Second Amendment. I'm sorry, but there are people out there, these NRA nutbags, that think it should be legal for some crazy person that literally just got out of an asylum to walk into a gun store and walk out with a handgun.
Right.
I mean, there are people that want the 3-day waiting period repealed. They want background checks repealed. This reminds me, remember that Futurama thing where you could just get guns out of vending machines? We don't need that. I'd be afraid if our society moved into that. Although what would be really funny, if guns were so prevalent you could get them in vending machines, but bullets were so scarce they were $10,000 a bullet. I think that would be kind of funny in a weird way.
Chris Rock.
Yes.
Yeah,
I couldn't remember where I heard
control.
That. But
yeah, it was like, Chris Rock.
Okay.
They must have done something. They put $5,000 worth of bullets in his ass.
Look at it like that. What is it about owning a gun that gives someone an inflated sense of power? I don't get it.
I think that's where the problem lies. I think in this country, this population, there are too many people who romanticize guns and idealize them, and they look at them as symbols of power and heroism and shit like that. There aren't enough people who see guns as a danger in society, and that's why guns will always be available. They will always be a part of life.
I unfortunately agree with you, but like you brought up, that their guns are romanticized. When we're little kids, we all play with guns. I did. I'm sure you did.
Yeah. They were ray guns.
The movies always show the good guy killing the bad guy with no repercussions. I also love Cracked did this article a couple of years ago about just how unrealistic the movies are when it comes to showing the truth about guns. You know, when you've got Arnold in Commando never reloading and just wiping out all these people, and they show a clip of a guy shooting an AK-47, and after I think it was 7 seconds it just stops. He goes, do you think he stopped for fun? No, he ran out of fucking bullets. They fire that fast.
Exactly. And I'm even kind of guilty of this myself. I mean, they're all ray guns, but like when I'm drawing like a comic book cover, I will add the alien or the space hero or whatever I'm drawing holding some kind of an elaborate ray gun because it does make it look badass.
We've both been indoctrinated into that gun culture too.
Yeah. Oh, very much so. In America, there's no getting around it. I mean, it doesn't matter what you're watching on TV. At some point, you are guaranteed to see a gun every day.
I don't understand it. I don't understand this firing guns makes me feel like a man. Well, then that means your penis doesn't work.
That's an excellent point.
You know,
there is a lot of insecurity fueling the nation's violence, I think.
Right. I mean, do you remember the Penn and Teller video game violence episode?
I don't think I saw that one, no.
They had a kid who loved first-person shooters and all this, and they wanted to disprove that playing video games makes you want to be a killer in real life. You know, shooting people in the face in Halo is not the same as shooting someone in the face in real life. So they had this kid who loved his guns and all these different FPSs, and they took him out to a gun range. And the kid was totally traumatized after about 3 minutes with the various guns. He's like, I don't want to touch these anymore. You know, no.
Exactly. It's a gunshot is a controlled explosion.
Yeah, and I think anybody that gets just joy out of the simple act of shooting a gun is a sick and disturbed individual. I really do. I mean, yes, they can be used for defense. I can't name how many stories that I've read about some burglar breaking into your home and, you know, the old lady shoots them or holds them at gunpoint. But also, how many stories have you read about a kid who got into the gun closet and blew his cousin's head off? Or the domestic incident that escalated into one of them shooting each other with the gun. You are far more likely to shoot someone unintentionally than you are intentionally. Now, the only way I'll change that subject is when the zombie apocalypse happens. All right, then I'm fine with a gun because you're killing, you know, something that's trying to eat you. Fair enough.
Well, not me. No, I'm going to surrender right away.
You want to see how the other side lives as it is?
Yes, zombies are awesome.
Fair enough.
If I didn't have like a child or responsibilities or bills, I would be a zombie right now.
You saying you're not? You agree with what Costa said, I'm assuming, right?
I do, yes.
And I think a lot of people agree with what Costas said.
It sort of made me feel unclean to realize that I was also agreeing with a writer for Fox Sports, but it is what it is.
Well, you know, he works for NBC. They're not a whole lot better.
Yeah.
Do you think people are going too far calling for his head, basically?
I think they're going extremely too far.
Because to me, and this happened like the day after, it was almost like a knee-jerk reaction. It was almost like, what, he said something bad about guns? Get his ass off the air now! And I think people need to lighten the fuck up.
When all that is just a threat to what a lot of people view as the national character, like the national identity. Because it couldn't have been money-driven because there are no advertisers. Like, there are no advertisements for guns on TV.
And the way he actually looked a little broken up, this part's speculation, but he might have known Jovan. You know,
I'm sure he probably did. He probably knows, like, more professional sports players than, like, the ratio of athletes to regular people. Bob Costas, most of his friends are probably professional athletes.
Right. So he was he probably has a dog in this fight, not to make a Michael Vick pun. And because he seemed a little broken up. It's like right after Phil Hartman got murdered by his wife. Dennis Miller still had his HBO show at that point, and yep. It was live. Did you see the episode that was the night Phil Hartman got murdered? He still went on the air. He was disheveled, and he looked, you know, he'd been run over by a truck.
Yeah, I remember that. God
that's,
damn it.
That's kind of the same vibe I got off Bob Costas here. Like, you know, he was being a professional and doing his job, but he really didn't want to be there because of personal issues. Now, keep in mind, that is speculation on my part. I will outright say that. But that's the vibe I got off Bob Costas in the video, which you people unfortunately can't see. You can only hear. But you can even hear his voice quiver a little bit in this.
Well, even if Bob Costas and Jovan Belcher were not friends in real life, it affects something like that. Given the circumstances, affects Bob Costas' world.
If nothing else, they were comrades at their jobs. Because he's a sports commentator, and Jovan was a sports player.
Right. It's part of Bob Costas' reality. And I don't want to meet the person who would not be broken up after something like that happens in your field. You know what I mean?
Right. Like, I don't remember what commentator it was, but one of the wrestling commentators after that one wrestler went crazy on steroids and killed his wife and son a few years ago, and people were calling for this wrestling commentator's head. How dare he talk about this only a week after it happened? Yeah, it's relevant then.
Yeah, I mean, not talking about it, that's how people get cancer, really.
It's ridiculous, and I highly doubt we're going to change anyone's opinion on guns and the gun culture that America just proliferates. And I don't want people to think that we're a bunch of whining little liberals that think guns should be banned. I don't think guns should be banned. I think they do serve a purpose. And there are people who are very safe with guns and practical with them. But there are also people that are not. And that's the issue we need to discuss on a national level, I think.
And I do kind of wish they would be banned, but I also support the death penalty, so figure that out.
You're complex like that, huh?
I'm too sensitive, man.
On that note, where can we find Mr. Complexity here?
Mr. Complexity can be found at Charlie McMullen. Look for me on Facebook and also at www.geekjuicemedia.com. Also on the podcast on www.tombadguy.com.
I've only heard the first episode, but I enjoyed the first episode.
Thank you. It's weird how Tom is doing it. It's like a totally different way that I've seen it done before. It's definitely worth a listen. Tales of Relevant Thought.
And you can find me at 1201beyond.com, 1201beyond@gmail.com, weekly columns, monthly column. You guys know all this shit.
Another stale cartoon. A closed-minded, self-centered social club. Ideas don't matter, it's who you know. If the music's gotten boring, it's because of the people who want everyone to sound the same. Who drive the bright people out of of our so-called scene, till all that's left is just a meaningless fad. I saw color in the darkness, shaking and carrying on what we are. Is this the state of mind? Or just another label? The giant hope of an alternative has become a song cliche. Ripped us apart even more than drugs are the thieves and the goddamn liars. Ripping people off when they share their stuff, when someone falls on their any friends. Harder core than thou for a year or two, then it's time to get a real job. Others stay home, it's no fun to go out when the gates are wrecked by gangs and thugs. When the thugs form bands, the crew gets record deals from New York metal labels looking to scam. Who signed the most racist queer bashing bands they could find to make up?
Down the bank, any kind of real change, take the time and work to change the shadows out of TV. Check this out.